Oh my God. Literally the biggest question that I have been waking up at 2 a.m. about is having kids. Do we want to have kids? When are we going to have kids? Does it look objectively shit? Is it worth going through pregnancy to have kids? Like, this is honestly the one thing in my weird years, which is like a ginormous black hole that's just pulling all of my thoughts to. I know I'm not the only one, because every time I meet a woman who's around 30 or a bit older, even if I'm like going for a coffee about work, somehow, and it's not just me, but somehow within 20 minutes, like, it comes up. It's honestly on the tip of so many people's tongue. And I feel like a lot of us are in mass confusion of it. I would love to be one of those people who is like, yes, I 100% want kids. I would love to have that in my soul and know for sure, but I'm just not. And I don't actually think that many people really are. I would also love to be one of those people who knows 100% that they don't want kids and that they'll be super happy without them and have no fear of that way. And one of my friends actually is. So Katie has always known that she doesn't want kids. And I find that so interesting and reassuring in many ways. And I think you guys will also feel that her story is super interesting and maybe will shine a little bit of light on this clusterfuck of baby confusion. So I sat down with her and got into it, and this is the episode. If life feels like a whirlwind of clarity and confusion, pull up a chair. Welcome to The Weird Years. I feel like there's so much that we could riff on. Like, we truly could chat shit for hours, but there's too many topics to cover. So I've brought you on as my one friend. I genuinely think you're my one friend who 100% knows they don't want kids.
Yeah, I think we are a rare breed. But, like, I don't think it's that, in knowing you definitely don't, I think that's the rare thing. Because I think some people maybe haven't thought about it or just haven't, like, stopped to go, oh, it's actually a decision. Like, so, yeah.
Also, it creeps up so, like, quickly. I feel like we don't really think about it as a decision, and then suddenly it's like, oh, fuck.
Totally. Like we were saying about, you're told your whole life, don't get pregnant, don't get pregnant. And then one day it changes and everyone's like, when are you going to get pregnant? When are you going to get pregnant? And you're like,
Is that thing of your friends being like, I'm pregnant? And you're like, oh my God, what are you going to do? Like,
yeah, literally.
You go from like, I've got a dog in a house.
Are you okay? How are we going to solve this problem? To like, congratulations.
Talk to the parents.
Weirdly, this week, I got a card because I moved house and everyone wrote really nice messages. And one person, which I thought was really, I don't know, like, it's nice, but I was like, oh, that's weird. Wrote, oh, here's to like babies, excitement and like chaos. And I was like, I feel like that's a really old school thing to write in a card. But like, I love the sentiment. It was just a nice, she just thought it was a nice thing to write. But I was like, that's really interesting. Like the assumption.
Definitely.
But I think that is a generational thing. But yeah, it was interesting that I saw that. I was like, oh, interesting.
Oh, they were an older person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like that is always the thing. But also, I'm definitely sometimes guilty of that to my friends. I'll be like, have babies.
Yeah, but if he's your friend, it's fine because you have these open conversations. But I thought it was quite, yeah, it just intrigued me to just like a random person at work, like, oh, here's for your babies. Because like, there's so many reasons that might not be the right thing to say to someone.
For sure.
But
for sure.
Obviously, I didn't take it that seriously, but it just, in my brain, was like, that's interesting.
Also, it's that thing of like, when you have kids, it's the same with like married, when you get married, or like you're thinking about getting married, or even when you're dating someone, people will always talk to you and be like, oh, well, when you get married, and like, when you buy a house, and when you have kids. 100%. It's never like, if you do this. And I've really been conscious of that with my in-laws. I don't know why, I just felt like I've always said, like, if we have kids,
yeah,
because it's even like a little
set
bit
the expectation.
Set the expectation, like, I might have just hundreds of goats. Like, that could definitely be an option.
Goats are really fun animals, so.
And they're called kids, so technically
you will have kids.
I'll have a kid. Yeah,
I love it. Maybe that's what I should do.
It's also the expectation of like, if you say when we have kids, then maybe it's even more devastating. Like, if you then go through fertility problems.
Yeah, literally.
In your whole head, you've had like, when we have kids, when we have kids.
Yeah.
It can come even more as like a shock if
totally.
It doesn't happen.
But I do think there are types of, like, my sister, for example, she's younger than me. She's got three kids. She had three kids before she was 30.
Yeah.
Which is quite the achievement in my eyes. But she always knew she wanted kids. Like, my mum was the same. Like, that was the one thing, which is
really,
and they're like so good at it as well.
Yeah,
but that's something that some, so when people say when, sometimes it's because it's like the world will end if they don't. And then obviously you're so happy when it happens to that person because that's what they really want.
But when, like, did you, at what point did you know that you, like, this isn't for me? Were you playing with dolls and then you were like, no, I'm not this baby?
I was like, tiny tears, you're out.
Baby born.
Yeah, I did have a baby born, actually. I found her quite fun because they used to, like, poo and stuff, didn't they?
I loved it when they weed, but yeah. Sometimes they'd get mouldy. Did you
ever
have that?
You put the food in and then they get mouldy in the inside.
Yeah, it's like you haven't drained them properly and the baby born's like, just got...
That was a sign that bumhole. I should not be a mother. No, when did I know? I don't remember ever wanting them. But, like, I did play with dolls when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Maybe because my sister did as well. It was something we both did. I would say I always knew I never had that yearning feeling.
Mm.
And I do think some people have kids because... This is not to say I don't think anyone I know regrets having kids. They love their babies. They're beautiful and they love them. But I think maybe if people had actually had an active choice and stopped and gone, this is actually a decision, like, this is a big thing, and I have the choice not to do it.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people do it because it's like, that's just what you do. That's the next step. Well, we've done this, we've done that. Mm. So let's have babies. Whereas to me, I'm like, unless it's like a devastating, yearning feeling, because it's such a big deal. Like, you're looking after another human, and I admire people that do it so much. But I never had that feeling of, like, I need that in my life.
Mm.
So why would I? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's weird, isn't it? Because then I guess when I say to you, like, when did you know you didn't want to? People always say that, like, people would have that feeling of, like, oh, I really wanted it. But there's not really, like, maybe a lack of that either. Do you know what I mean? There's not, like, no, a feeling where you're like, oh, I know this is definitely... I mean, some people, maybe it's, like, a physical thing, but... But I suppose, dream, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it must have been a young age, because I remember being told from a very young age by older people, you'll change your mind. You'll change your mind. So I must have said it from quite a young age, like at least in my early teens, because I have so many memories of being told, oh, you'll change your mind. And I, like, obviously as an adult, I'm like, yeah, well, cool, whatever. Don't care. I know my mind. But as a teenager, it's like, no, I won't. Stop saying that. But then at that age, I guess... I don't know. In my head, I was like, well, sure, maybe I will, but I'm pretty sure how I feel now. And that feeling never went away. So,
yeah, that's fair. Some people, like, I guess, really do know. Like, I was watching, I actually can't remember the name of her. I'm going to look up the girl. Because there was this woman who I watched her TED talk, and she was talking about how she just knew, like, forever. She's American, and she was like, I 100% do not want kids. And she chose to be, like, sterilized. I don't know if that's, like, the right word. I think it is. She basically got her tubes tied, which I don't know if that's reversible or not. I feel like I should know that. I know that with men, like, it is reversible.
But, like, the only thing, does that come with, like, symptoms? As in, like, because obviously hormones and men, like, when women go through menopause, or, like, if you have a hysterectomy, there are negative things that come with that in terms of, like, the effect it has on your body. So I don't know if that would as well.
I would think. But then I don't know necessarily if those would be bad side effects. They might be quite good. You might just not have period pains and stuff.
Well, that would be great, wouldn't it?
I don't know. But yeah, this woman, her name, Kristen Reichter, I'm probably pronouncing that terribly, but she got her tubes tied, and she, like, went through massive challenges of trying to convince doctors that she wanted that done.
That is wild to me. Like, it's your body.
Yeah.
Like, and if she lives in the US, it's just like, you just... It's not even like it's NHS, right? It's like you go to a doctor and you say, I'm giving you my money to perform this.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, just do what I tell you.
Yeah.
Essentially. But she said that so many people would be like, oh, you know, you're going to change your mind and stuff. But she knew forever. And I think she had to go through, like, a legal battle in the end to actually
that's crazy.
Have that done.
Because, like, the whole thing with changing your mind is, even now I sometimes say this, I'm like, you're right. Of course, there is a small chance. I don't know what the future holds. Mm. But I felt this way for my whole entire life now. And I mean, I'm 34.
Yeah.
And I feel like I know. And it's the assumption that you don't know your own mind. Like, I would never say to someone who desperately knows they want kids, oh, you'll change your mind.
I wish people would say that. It'd be hilarious. Once they're already here
as
well,
I'll
be
kids? Like, oh, you'll change your mind.
You'll send those ones back.
But, like, you would never say that, would you? But somehow the other way around, it is...
I feel like people are realising now that they have a choice. Like, that's the other thing I found in chatting about this with people, is that there's a lot of people who, they just didn't even consider that there was the option of not having kids. Like, it was such a trodden path that you just presume at some point you will.
We are lucky to have that choice. So I feel like it's important. And this is not, like, I would never be like, don't have children. It's great not to have children.
Yeah.
I'm just all about the choice. And because I fall into the minority, or society considers me probably as a woman who doesn't want kids to fall into the minority on that sense.
Yeah.
I've experienced the, like, people, like, turning their noses up at it a little bit more than you would maybe the other way around. So I'm just all about the choice.
Do you think that's it? Do you think people are snooty about it? Do you think it's like, do you feel a lot of judgment from it?
Sometimes. From older people, I feel judgment sometimes. I think it's maybe sometimes a little bit like, because they didn't have the choice, so they don't, they can't get their head around the fact that you can make that choice.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't available to them, or they never felt like it was. So I don't know, maybe turning their nose up is the wrong word, but I just, yeah, I don't know. But like, it is good to have a choice, because like, you're obviously, sure. Well, you, I don't know, you just got married, and yeah. I know we've talked about it before, and like, whether you would or wouldn't. Mm. So it's like you're actually having those thoughts of, I don't know how you feel now.
I'm like fucking, I'm deep in the shit. I'm drowning in the shit of decisions. I mean, that's literally like the whole point of this podcast is like, what the fuck am I doing? No, right now I'm more on the pro baby side.
Yeah.
But I think, to be honest, I think that's because I always say that my husband is an evolved man. And I don't want to brag about that, but I feel like he's quite good. Like, he's quite.
I do think that makes a difference to having a partner who yeah. is going to be a team player. That makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Your husband is an evolved man.
He's an evolved man. And I think that's the thing is people, and actually we said this on the episode with Hannah when we were talking about marriage and divorce and everything. It's like people always ask the question, do you want kids in a kind of void of context? It's like, well, yeah, like, do you want kids and you can live in this mansion in the middle of the countryside and you've got a nanny and your husband's a dream or your partner's a dream, or do you want kids like living yeah. in our two-bed flat in Poplar right now? No, I don't.
But that makes so much difference, doesn't it? It's like money, time, who the person is that you're going to be co-parenting with.
Yeah.
If, and even, there's just so many factors, you're right, without the context. It is really quite a random question, isn't it?
Also, because it's kind of like, I feel like being a parent is so different being a dad or being a mum.
Yeah.
And in some ways, and people who have kids will probably be like, this is an awful point of view. But in some ways, if you have shitloads of money, it's almost like being a dad. Because it's like, you can hire someone, and I say dad in like the traditional sense of, in reality, most of the time women are like the core parent, yeah. right? But I know there's exceptions and that's lovely, but if you have loads of money, you can take off some of that responsibility.
It's true.
You can have a cleaner, you can have a nanny.
Money buys, like, extras, extra yeah. help, extra... And, like, even just the worry of money. Like, if you don't have to worry about money, then being a parent is probably going to be a lot more... And you get to enjoy enjoyable. The nice part of it, because yeah. you don't have to worry about the stress of it.
And you can do more of the fun things that, like, the dads get to do, like, yeah. you know.
It is kind of what I get to do as an auntie, because, like... It's not that I don't, like, I love kids.
Mm.
I don't, and I think this is something that maybe people don't expect. It's like, I'm always the person, you know, you go to like a family party and you're the person that gets roped into hide and seek, or you're doing some ridiculous game with the kids. That is always me.
Yeah.
And people, so like quite often people like our friend's sister, she's got like, I say hundreds of kids, I think she's got five. But she's always like, oh my God, but you'd be such a good mum. And I'm like, it's just not something I want, but that doesn't mean I don't want to spend time with kids and like be around them. And yeah, so being an auntie is kind of like that same thing. Like, I get to do all the fun stuff, and don't get me wrong, I'm happy to do the wiping bums, or yeah. maybe when they get older, like the emotional support or whatever, the harder stuff that comes with it, and I'm more than happy to do that, but just in the role of an auntie, which I do feel is different. I feel the role of a parent is very different. You can still be like a role model or a supportive, consistent adult for a kid without having to be their parent.
Like, well, it's like being a divorced dad. Like, yeah. isn't that the dream? It's like, you come once every other week and you just get to do fun things. It's like, we're going to Pizza Express on a Sunday. There is nothing better than going to Pizza Express on a Sunday
and
seeing
God.
Just tables of sad-looking kids.
Literally, I think we went to a gig recently, and we got there a bit early and we were like, oh, let's just go to Pizza Express. I walked in and I was like, nothing has changed since the 90s. Every table was a man with some kids looking a bit like... What do we do?
Get the dough balls. This is so awkward.
I love how we both have the same experience. Like, where do you take your kids if you're a divorced dad? Or mum. If you're a divorced mum, you're the one who has them the less, you probably do take them to Pizza Express.
The other elite version is go-karting. Oh, I went go-karting so much as a kid.
Did you?
Yeah.
We only went like once. Oh. I feel let down. Maybe yeah, I should have like words.
The dream of divorced parents. Yeah, and I guess being an auntie is a bit like that. Like, you can just rock up and do the fun stuff, but you don't have all the emotional labour. And I think that's where loads of people I talk to, loads of guys I know, and my husband as well, super excited to be dads. And I'm like, I love that.
Of course
for
you are.
Yeah, it's like, I love that for you. I'd be fucking excited as well if someone just dropped like a cute little baby at my front door after 9 months. And actually, it's nearly 10 months. That's another lie that they don't tell you. It's close to 10
months. Yeah, what is with that? Why do they say 9 months? And it is legit 10, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. It is literally 10 months. It's a big, and when you say that to a man, they're like, no, it's not. And I'm like, ask ChatGPT. They will clarify it for you. It's closer to 10 months. But if you just got a baby dropped off in like a nice little outfit and every time it cried, it disappeared to go and get fed. I mean, that would be a dream to me. I honestly would be leaping for joy to be a dad.
I mean, I still think even if you're like not a very good dad, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you should still have, it's still like a, you can't get out of it. Do you know what I mean? And
no.
I think that's part of, obviously it's different when wherever you live with your kids, there's all different situations.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of it for me is like the relentlessness of it. And even as a dad, if you're in a situation where you do get an easier ride, which sadly we know is usually the case, you're still, without fail, things are going to have to happen every day. You're going to have to do certain things. You're going to have to do it. And I would want to do that well. And if I was going to be a parent, but that's not something I choose for myself. But do you know what I mean? But it's because I take that so seriously and I see that consistency that you should have as a parent, if you're able to, is so important. So
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to fuck them up. I mean, I can't remember what that poem is. I feel everyone, it goes, they fuck you up, your mum and dad. That's how it starts. It's like...
How have I never
heard of this poem? You know what I mean? Up, your mum and dad, and then it goes something or other. But it's basically
Is it read by a chimney sweep in the Victorian?
It's a poem reading. But it's all about how, like, as a parent, you're going to screw them up in some way. And that's, like, an inevitable thing. I think now, also, we put so much more pressure probably on ourselves because maybe the standard is higher. Being a good parent is probably... Well, firstly, you see inside other people's houses, right, a bit more than you used to. Like, you kind of know... Yeah. What's going on in other people's homes a bit more because of social media and stuff.
When you said that, I imagined you just looking in someone's window and I was like, what do you mean? I don't go around looking in people's houses.
But I understand.
Social media, I get it. So like, you just, well, just in general, you get more of an insight into people's lives.
Yeah, and I think people expect more from parents. Like back in the day, I think it literally was like, just keep them alive and like, make sure they don't die from rickets or whatever.
But that is why, like, for example, my mum recently... Her friend's got a baby and they had like some temperature thing on the bath. And her and her friend are going, in our day, we just stuck our elbow in the bath and our kids turned out fine. And I'm like, but yeah, it is. Because like there's a whole industry, it's like with weddings as well. There's a whole industry built around it. The standard becomes higher. There's more things to be anxious about because there's more things being sold to you that you need.
Yeah.
But like, also I was like, Mum, just leave her to it. If she wants to temperature check her bath, let her, if that
helps her get
being a parent day. Probably must be so anxiety inducing, which is another thing which I think would play a big factor in people's decisions. Like there's so many things that you would just, and I think I would be a really anxious parent if I had a kid, because I'd just be constantly like, I'm doing it wrong. And so I can totally see how people feel like that, and that's just another reason for me to be like, no thank you.
I think I would be as well. Like I definitely would be paranoid that anything's going to happen. Like, even when Chris goes away on tour, like, sometimes I'll lie in bed at night and I'll be like, what if a gunman comes into the club he's in? Or, like, what if this thing happens?
I'm not laughing because that's funny. I'm laughing because I'd do the exact same thing with really random,
so
random
paranoid
things.
And it's like, what if his plane crashes? Like, just stupid shit that, like, statistically, and touch wood, I don't know if there's any wood around here, but... touch that fake plant.
I just touched a plant. Yeah, I don't know if that counts. A plastic plant.
But it's like, it must be so terrifying, especially as these, it's not like the kid can really tell you what's going on.
No.
Like, even when I looked after my nephew when he was really small, I think he was like 3, maybe 5 months, I was like just paranoid the whole time that I was going to do something wrong or like drop him. And I guess it's, maybe it's even harder if it's somebody else's kid, but
yeah, I mean, I did kind of drop my niece. I mean, I didn't drop her, but she fell off the sofa under my care, so it's the same thing, right? And that was horrible. I was burst out crying. And then obviously my nephew was like, because I'm crying and I'm trying not to cry, but also I was like having a really anxious day anyway, which didn't add to it. And then I rang my sister, and obviously she's a children's nurse. Not obviously, it's obvious to you, it's not obvious to anyone else. But she was like, it's fine. Like, she just asked me some questions. She was really chill about it. And I'm just on the phone like, oh my God. I was like, I've brain damaged your child. No. Thankfully, she's fine. She's 4 now and she's very perfectly
functioning.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Functioning. She's all good. I don't think I did her too much damage. But yeah, stressful. So Imagine, stressful. Although, is that better or worse if it's your own child? Because at least if it's your own child, you don't have to explain it to someone else.
Yeah, I do think that. I mean, not that children are pets, but when you compare it to like a dog or a horse, it's like when it's your own horse, it's fine. And you can't get insurance. Can you get insurance on kids? I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't really help.
I don't know.
Emotional, physical damage is what it is, isn't it? But yeah.
Yeah, I bet you could probably get insurance against like a broken leg, but you couldn't get insurance on the like the emotional deep damage that all parents cause their kids.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of people would be paid out.
We're
a lot
so
of
money. Morbid. We're like, oh, it's... no, but it's true. And I think that's a good thing to accept, though. Like, I don't know.
What, that like you're going to fuck them up a bit?
Well, you can't help it because no one's perfect. And I kind of had to have this journey for myself, was realise that, because obviously when you're a kid and people let you down and you usually internalise it, I think most people do. Yeah. They blame themselves for stuff like that. I mean, imagine, like, if I think of a little five-year-old getting let down by someone, it breaks my heart. Yeah. And then when you think of it being yourself, you're like, oh. But I realise that everyone's just doing the best they can with what they've got. Mm. So parents, they will make mistakes, but I think that's just a lesson that we have to learn. But then when you think about that as yourself as a parent, it's like, I don't want to do that. But
yeah.
You can't, like, it's inevitable.
It's quite high risk, though, isn't it? Because, like, I'm definitely speaking for myself, but a lot of people I know have just spent the last 30 years trying to undo all the damage of their childhood.
But that's like when you were saying about the standards being higher. I think that's part of it. It's because we have so much more access to, like, well-being and mental health services. I mean, still not perfect. We could talk about that on another podcast. Mm. But people are able to work through their shit a bit better.
People know what attachment theory is.
Yeah, people know. And people know themselves and realise what effect, whereas people were never able to do that, didn't have the facilities to do that, didn't have the stuff available to them. My grandma was absolutely mental, and I know other people, women her age, I'm not saying it's just women, but the people I know are women, who I see so many common things in them, how they deal with stuff and how,
where it came from.
And I'm like, because you weren't able to deal with all the shit that people threw at you or happened to you. And you weren't able to deal with it. And you've all ended up in a really similar state in like your 70s, 80s. Whereas hopefully we won't be quite that bad.
Yeah.
But like, you're right. That raises the bar because now we're so much more aware. We're like, oh, do you know what? That actually really wasn't good what you did. And I'm like, oh God, imagine if I had a kid and they said that about me. Like,
yeah.
But that's me being selfish because they have every right to say that about you because...
Well, also people are just imperfect, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, we all, that's what I mean about everyone doing their best, but
yeah,
you can only work with what you've got or what you've experienced. And
but even like trying to do that stuff, I feel like people judge, because that whole thing of like gentle parenting, people fucking rip it apart, like on the internet, and people be like, you know, kids are snowflakes nowadays, and like your kid has no boundaries, because it's like, no, gentle parenting is just supposed to be like, instead of, it's just like
emotional regulation.
Yeah, it's like their tiny little brains are like, it's like they're drunk, like they don't know what's going on. Like, who hasn't got really pissed and cried about something?
It is
ridiculous?
Like, kids are like little drunk people.
They are.
I saw a thing about that the other day and I was like, it's so true. Like, just caring for a tiny drunk person all the time.
Exactly.
And having to look after them, make sure they're broken.
But not, you have no idea. It's literally like coming back from a club when you're at union. It's like, I have no idea what you want, but you
why
need
you feel
something.
This way?
What do you need? Do you need to be sick?
Do you need cheesy chips?
Do you need to be sick? Do you need cheesy chips? Do you need another snake bite? Tell me what you need and I'll help you.
Definitely don't need any more snake bites, Cor.
I haven't drunk one of those since leaving uni. I know, that's actually a repulsive thought right now.
It does. It did used to make me happy that they only cost £1.80, because can you imagine trying to find a drink for £1.80 right now?
Yeah, but imagine, actually, I had a Coke the other day. It cost me £3.60 and I was fucking...
See? You could have got two snake bites in 2010 for the price of a can of Coke.
Imagine now going into a pub and being like, I'll have a snake bite, please.
Do you think they'd even know what you're talking about?
No.
They'd be like, I'm sorry.
But there's
what
two...
What's that?
But, okay, so blackcurrant juice.
Yeah.
And cider.
I think that's...
But what was the one? There was another one which was beer, cider and blackcurrant juice. Or was that the snake bite?
No, that was a snake bite. The other one, cider and black.
Oh, yeah, cider black. The classy version. If you weren't a piece of shit, you'd drink a cider black. But if you were, you'd have a snake bite.
Oh, God. Snake bites. Those were the days.
Disgusting.
I reckon it turned my insides purple for a while.
Probably. Probably.
Yeah.
For you, right? You said you can't really see yourself changing your mind. But... No. Would you ever do anything, like get your tubes tied or anything, if there was benefits to it?
Mm.
Or does that feel too extreme?
It feels too extreme for me, but not because it's too much of a final decision, just because I wouldn't want to put my body through anything it didn't have to go through. Yeah, like,
yeah.
I've always felt a bit like, unless I really had to have like surgery. I don't know if you have, I'm presuming you have to have an anaesthetic.
But we're going to do something.
Well, I hope so.
They're not but just yeah, going to hold their hands over.
I wouldn't want to put my body through something unnecessarily. So that's why I wouldn't do it myself. But not. It's not because it's a too much of a final decision, because I'm like, I know I don't see any future of me suddenly being like, oh my God, I want kids. And it has occurred to me, because I know, like, obviously the annoying thing about being a biological woman is that you have a timer in your body for what it can do.
For sure.
So I do get that, because I don't know anyone that's been certain they didn't want kids and then got to like 38 and been like, actually, I need to really try now. But I know people that have been like, not really thought about it or been indifferent, and then suddenly had this urge when they got close to their 40s, which obviously isn't impossible, but makes it a lot harder. So that has occurred to me before, but I just don't, how could a feeling suddenly, after all this time, suddenly an extreme feeling? Because I think it has to, well, for me, I know, like, we were saying, sometimes some people are just like, oh, just have a kid. And that's actually quite cool to me, because
oh God, I'd love
maybe
to
I just
people.
Overthink too much. Maybe.
I would fucking love to be one of those people who's just like, oh, maybe I will. And actually, we'll get onto some submissions from listeners later. But some people said like, yeah, we were kind of undecided, so we started trying. And I'm like, God, I would love that laissez-faire attitude. But I'm
me
an overthinker.
Too, kind of like, just to be that like chill. Maybe they're just really chilled people. But for me, it had to, well, my view of it for myself, because like, I think this is such a personal thing, like I would never tell anyone else how they should feel, but for me it would need to be like, it is a full-time thing. You are literally raising a child. It will become your identity, whether that's forever or for a certain amount of time. It has, like, it's inevitable. It will become you. And I feel like you have to really, and it will cost a lot of money. Like, there's so many things to it. And it's, I'm sure it's such a wonderful thing for someone if you want it. But I feel like you have to really want it, because it's such a big thing. And I just don't.
And now people are like having, as we said, like, we're very lucky to live in a society where you do have the choice. Obviously, there's still like stigma and things. But one really interesting thing I read was that men have always been financially independent, right? To a degree. Like, obviously, when we had a king and like peasants, it was kind of different, but let's say
we're
for the last like 100 years
King Charles, aren't we?
Let's say for the last 100 years men have been financially independent. And what's interesting now is, like, for the first time we're seeing, probably only in the last, like, if we're honest, in the last 20-30 years, like, women actually having full financial independence. And we see the number of people getting married declining rapidly. And
is
like,
that true?
Yeah, it's true.
That.
And women so marriage in the UK and the US is declining, but also it's happening much later often. And the
well,
same
that's
with
like in our friendship group, I would say our friends have got married
in
much later.
Yeah.
Certainly for us. I think we've all waited much later than people would
I think people,
a generation ago.
It's like having more of a career and stuff. And now, like, there is a focus on financial independence. And obviously that's going to impact thinking about having kids. But it's like, now women are financially independent. For the first time, a lot of people are actually saying, like, yeah, I don't really want to have kids. Because before, you had to get married, right? If you were, like, in, I don't know, the late 1800s. Oh, I'm so bad at the 1800s, 1900s.
Yeah,
let's say you were in, like, 1920, whatever period that is.
That was, like, flappers and, like, Great Gatsby.
Yeah, but you had to get married because that was how you were financially supported.
Yeah.
If you weren't, then you were like in poverty.
That's crazy, isn't it?
So you had to get married. And then the obligation of that was that you would have children to give the man, and obviously it's nice for yourself for some people, but give the man like the kind of next generation of their family lineage. And now it's like, well, we have a choice. And I love the big eye roll of that. You're like,
give the man, like, the man gets to continue his lineage. I'm like, what about my lineage? Although, obviously, I've put, there is no lineage for me. But, Oh, it's crazy, though, isn't it? You're right, that financial independence made a huge difference.
Massive.
But that's what I'm interested in, the fact that, despite all that, it's still way more common for couples to choose to have or try and have kids.
Yeah.
Then it's not, right?
For sure. And try is such an important word, because, again, I was looking at like the data on this, and from women who were born in the 70s, one in five will not have children, either by choice or by chance, like that they weren't able to. One in five, which is actually quite high. So this idea that like it's so incredibly rare to be a woman without kids. And then for people, for us, so people born in the 1990, 50% of women on their 30th birthday don't have children. Really? So it's like it's shifted massively and people are doing it later as well.
Yeah. But you know, it's like, I'm also interested in the fact that obviously now, in terms of like fertility treatment and stuff, that's advanced. But yet, still, because like years ago, like you said, that one in five, it could be someone that made a choice, but it could also be like my nana's sister. Mm. I think she always wanted children, but she never had any because it didn't happen for her. And now, if she was alive now and she was like in her 20s, 30s, she would have probably pursued fertility treatment.
Yeah.
But in those days, it was just, oh, well, it's not happened. So even though fertility treatment has advanced and it's more available, but yet still lots of people aren't, I find that quite interesting.
It is interesting.
Because that must mean that some of those people are making a choice, right?
For sure. Because, I mean, overall, again, when we were growing up, I can't remember the exact year, it used to be like 2.4 kids was the average. Now the average in the UK is 1.7.
Oh, really?
So it is declining. And I think obviously there's lots of reasons for that. It's partly people are having them later.
Can't afford them.
So the average age of someone, can't afford them. The average age of someone having a kid now, I think it's 31.9 or something in the UK. It's like just over 30. And it used to be around 27. So people are having them later. And obviously, if you have them later, you're going to have less probably because you've got less time. But what really pisses me off with the fertility stuff is, I think fertility treatment is amazing and it opens up so much choice for people. But I do also think corporations kind of use it with a hammer to slap women around the head with, of like, you can have your career, like just pop some eggs in the freezer. Yeah. They make it sound like it's literally that easy. Like, I bet these men have no fucking idea. I mean, we know that from what's happened with Trump.
These men.
We know what's like with the fertility and the abortion bans in America. Like, it's obvious that a lot of the people making legislation do not understand women's bodies and fertility. But
lots of people who are practicing medical people don't understand women's bodies.
Literally. Like, but it's crazy. This idea of like, well, you see on the news that, or on social media, that like Kourtney Kardashian had a baby at like 42, and then like they talk about these other women, and sometimes they don't talk about all the health problems and challenges that she had, or they'll show, I can't remember who it was recently had one at like 46, and they're like, such and such welcomes a baby at 46. It's like, she used a surrogate. So you should put that in your reporting quite clearly, because otherwise it's like, it's a bit unfair on women, of this idea of like, well, you know, you can have it all. You can have everything. You can have the career. Just chuck the eggs in the freezer and don't worry about it until later. It like kind of minimizes that whole process.
Also, like the assumption that when you say like have it all, the assumption that all is one thing, like it means the same thing to everyone.
Yes.
But having it all doesn't mean the same thing to everyone. Like for some people, that would be being able to have a good career and have kids and have a giant house and have this. But like, for me, not having kids doesn't mean I'm not having it all. Do you know what I mean? Like, for 100%. Me, having it all means, like, because that's so selfish, having nice holidays.
Yeah.
No, but it means, like, having the life that I want and I'm happy with, which looks very different to someone else. So I kind of hate that phrase. I've heard all those phrases that come from books so weird. Like, what's the other one? Like,
Venus.
Which planet
Mars.
Are we from? We're from Venus.
I think women are from Venus, men are from Mars.
I've not read that book, but I feel like it's probably
dating book,
completely outdated.
I think it would actually be a fun project.
Rewrite it.
I think it'd be a fun project to go back and read like shitty feminist books from like the 70s.
I remember reading a book when I was younger called How to Be a Skinny Bitch.
Wow.
Now I'm like, oh my God. And it basically just, I mean, it does what it says on the tin, don't eat anything.
Here's a trick. Stop
and then at the end it was like, oh, here's the secret. We don't really want you to be a skinny bitch. We just want you to be really healthy and happy. And I was like, everything you've said through this book involves eating like nothing or like leaves.
There used to be an Instagram that was called like Skinny Bitch. It was like a fitness brand.
Or maybe it was the same. I don't know. But now I'm like, oh my God, I was reading books like that at that age. That's
so
crazy.
Damaging. Yeah. Also with this whole thing about choice and how it like, I guess, intertwines with corporations and like the economy and stuff. There's this crazy movement, which actually is not, it's not like a new thing, But I forget the name of it all the time. It is called pronatalism.
Pronatalism.
And it's this, I did a lot of my jeans have got so high they're like under my pits. I'm literally slamming Powell over here. Pronatalism. So it's the ideology that parents are more important than non-parents, and that families are more respectable and more valid than single people. And this is because of their role in society. So you see it all the time, like if you have kids, you get tax breaks, for example. Mm-hmm. Or like if you, even in soft ways of like, if you have a job and you say, I've got to pick my kid up at 5 o'clock, people are like, absolutely fine.
That's more valued than if you said, I need to pick my dog up at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, or like I have an order from Farfetch and it's coming at 5 o'clock, I have to be at home. That is not acceptable.
Yeah, it's true.
And this is really being pushed at the moment by like religious conservatives, and also by like super loaded tech CEOs. So like Elon Musk is a massive one for it.
But isn't his kid named after like an apostrophe or something? So we can't take parenting advice from him.
I mean, the man has, I think, like 15 children.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his like whole thing is about repopulating. Basically,
so the one with Grimes is like...
I think they've got two.
Well, he's probably had like about five wives, hasn't he?
I think he's had a lot of partners, yeah. But this, people are really worried. And I think that's where maybe a lot of the judgment comes in of women who don't want to have kids, is that it's seen as like a selfish decision. Because it's like, well, we have to, who's going to look after the old people if you don't have more kids?
Yeah, I do. Because people do actually often say that as well. Like, who's going to look after you when you're old, like me?
Mm.
And I'm like, I haven't all that far ahead yet. But also, I don't want kids just so they can look after other people.
Also, like the amount of people, sadly, I mean, your sister probably know this working in a hospital, but like the amount of people who die old and alone anyway,
because
they get estranged from their kids. Like we've all seen those Age UK adverts, they fucking get me every time. Like, honestly,
oh, I can't.
I give them all my money.
Yeah, like, I keep getting sent them on Instagram. The algorithm obviously knows I'm a sucker because it keeps sending me really sad.
It's like, John is lonely. And I'm like, oh, poor John. Give me his phone number and I'll have him around.
Yeah, we would. Oh my God, I'd love to do that, by the way. Just have like waifs and strays around for Christmas. That's like my dream.
Yeah, there was such a cute thing. I think it was in Norway where they built nurseries inside old people's homes.
Oh.
So it was like an hour a day. Like the kids would come and read to the old people, or the old people would read to the kids, whatever. And like it was just the most pure thing, and I was like,
that.
I love
that. I don't think we value old people enough. That's a completely different topic, but I just think like with technology and stuff, we're all like forward, 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 and then we're like, they know shit too.
Yeah,
they know good shit. Stuff. We should listen to them more.
Yeah, and another interesting thing. God, I'm full of facts today.
You really are.
So most animals, when you, and someone's going to fact check with me and be like, this is total bollocks, but apparently lots of animals, when you become not fertile anymore, you basically like die fairly quickly. And in
not
humans...
Not killer whales. No.
Oh, yeah. Actually, killer whales is the best example. So killer whales, and I think the other one, elephants, and humans have a role for grandparents. So after women and men, and I think men, they're actually fertile for longer, but after women are not fertile anymore, they're still like an important part of the squad because they pass on information. The killer whales in Portugal, drowning the boat, was the
led
matriarchs.
By a grandma.
It was the grandmas.
Also,
we need to actually explain that to anyone listening.
Basically, I do. We both know the story.
Yeah, you go.
Some killer whales up and down Spain, Portugal to Strait of Gibraltar started during COVID and throughout until now, like attacking. They say they don't know if they're doing, they don't really know why they're doing it, if it's like play or teaching the babies or whatever, but they started like grabbing boat rudders and it turned out that it was like the matriarch female that was like teaching that behavior to all the younger ones. I've told that story, right?
Yeah
But it's the same with other ones.
Role for them, like knowledge.
They hunt. I'm such a killer whale geek, this is really embarrassing, but they hunt in different ways. Like for example, in New Zealand there's a group that specifically picks up stingrays by their tail and the other one will like come along and eat the stingray. But again, that's passed down by generations. How? Because the grandma teaches the mum, teaches the babies, and like that knowledge is really valuable, more than any, not just her ability to have babies.
Yeah,
which is cute.
But also I guess that, like thinking when you were like, you haven't really thought that far ahead, it's also thinking that family structures come in so many different ways now. Like, as you said, you know, you'll probably be really tight with your nieces and nephews, and then you have friends' kids, and actually you kind of have that family by blood and, as Kamala Harris said, family by blood and family by choice, because everyone was slagging her off Did you? It was so awful.
I'm so out of touch with the world. I didn't even know she said that, but I like that phrase.
Yeah, because they were basically slagging her off. And I think it might have been JD Vance, it might have been someone else, said that how can a woman who doesn't have children be fully invested in like the future of humanity in the same way as someone who does?
Which
is outrageous in itself. But also she has two stepchildren.
Yeah.
So she's like a parent to two stepchildren. But yeah, she was saying you've got this family by love. And I think that's what we'll see more and more is like how much time do you spend with your, especially living in an urban environment, you spend probably more time with your friends than you do your family or your sisters. Like you have a family by choice anyway.
And I think that's more, well, even within my family, most people that me, my mum and my sister call our family members are not actually related to us by blood.
Mm.
They're all family by choice. They're like either my mum's longtime friends or like my stepdad, who my mum was with, passed away, but we still have all of his family. So I'm not related to any of them, but they still spend Christmas with us.
Yeah.
And like, I'm a big believer in that because when you look at the blood people, sometimes they're shit anyway.
Sometimes you just get dealt a bad hand.
You're like, oh, God. But yeah, I think, and you're right about friends. I read a thing recently about friends being like the most platonic love. I think it was someone talking about it. I think it was that girl from Sex Education.
Yeah.
Gillian Anderson. Who plays Amy.
Oh, I love her.
She was talking about how important platonic love is. And yes. I was like, I totally feel like my friends are more important to me than, not more important than my mum, my sister, or like people, but very, very important to me. And I value my friends so much. And I think that is, you're right. That's your chosen family.
Do you know one thing we haven't talked about on the topic of kids and love is, and this is actually good context, maybe we should have stuck this in the beginning, but you have a long-term partner. So it's not even like some people think, oh, people only choose not to have kids because they can't find the right partner. But you actually have a long-term partner.
I do. Lucky him.
And how, like, what does he think about it? Like,
So it's weird, actually, because I did text him before I came on here and was like, I'm probably going to talk about this. Is that okay? We had the conversation really early on. So I think we've been together 8 years now this year. So it had been like 26. I brought it up really early. And I mean, most people at 26, probably when they get in a relationship, don't talk about wanting kids.
Mm.
But I've always felt like because I'm the opposite, because I'm against what people would maybe expect, I had to bring it up early because I was so sure of it. I was like, I don't. And I know what will happen. You're going to go, oh, yeah, but you might change your mind. And then, but that's not the case. So I had quite a direct conversation with him quite early on and was like, I know I don't want kids.
Mm.
And if you do, that's cool. But then we're not the right people for each other because I know that.
Yeah.
And he did go a little bit through the, or like, but you might change your mind. And I was like, I'm telling you, I will not change my mind. And you have a think about it. If you decide that that's something you really want, then that's fine. Like, I'm not going to be like, stay with me, it'll just be okay, but then we're not the right people for each other. And he thought about it for a bit, and he really thought about it. And I think he had always thought he wanted kids,
right?
But not, I don't think he'd ever thought about it. Like, we were saying earlier, I don't think he'd ever thought, do I want kids? He just thought that's what you do.
Would, yeah.
Oh, that's just what you do. And he is a teacher as well, so he obviously is very good with kids and likes them.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't think he'd ever thought about it being a choice. He'd just been like, well, that's what everyone else does. And I mean, he's quite like that in life. He'd say this himself. Like, I'm much more contemplative about everything. Like, everything is a decision to me. Everything's But yeah, so we had that decision. I left it with him for a bit. And we had a few more conversations about it. And I was just, and in the end, he was like, I've thought about it and I actually don't either.
It's all just like being conscious, isn't it? And like having decisions and having that conversation with yourself.
And like I said, it's like, you probably, I mean, at 26, when you're like, I don't know, as a woman, you're made to feel like everything is being needy. So you would never go into a relationship and go, oh, I really want like 5 kids. Because you'd be like, the world makes you feel like that. Laying out your wants and needs is unacceptable.
Yeah.
But having been the other way, I've always felt like I had to put it out there early because people would assume that I did.
Yeah, that's very fair.
It went fine. And even for quite a few years, I would still bring it up and be like, I just want you to know that if you decided you did want kids, that would be okay. And like, I wouldn't be angry at you for changing your mind, but I want you to know you can always say that, but I'm still firm. It's never going to be with me. And then after a few years, I stopped worrying about that and felt like he really meant it.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, for quite a while, I would always be like, you've still got an out. Like, I know that's just because I didn't want him to ever feel...
Well, it's a big thing for people, isn't it? It's like, if you want... And so many couples actually break up over that stuff because it's like, if you want different things... Like, I personally have always said I would choose Chris over kids. Like, if, for whatever reason, it didn't happen, or, like, even when we were thinking about whether we wanted it or not, I was like, I would choose him over kids, personally. But I totally understand people who wouldn't feel that way.
Yeah. And I, like... It's sad that it would have to be a choice for some people. They'd have to choose a person over kids or vice versa, because it would be lovely if everyone lived in a world where they could find the perfect person that wants the same things and is able to have the same things as them. But obviously, it's not always like that.
Tinder.
Swipe. Wait, what way do you swipe for yes?
Oh, mate, it's been so long, I don't even know. Left? I'm not sure. Swipe right? No, maybe right.
Do you know, it would make much more sense if it was up and down, don't you think? Up for yes, down for no.
That's how you go through them.
Oh, well, can you tell? I've never done it, can't you?
Okay, so we did ask this out to our listeners. So this one is interesting. So there was someone who said they never wanted them. The only time they vaguely considered it was when they're in a long-term relationship with someone and I was in a dead-end job with no purpose, only sadness.
Oh, God.
And I was like, that's interesting.
We've all been there.
Yeah, and I was like, well, what made you want them at that time? And she said, I imagine telling my friends and my family, and that felt really good. At the time, I'd been in London for 2 years and I had nothing to show for myself. I longed people to feel proud of me or validated. Mm. So that's super interesting, this idea of, like, it's such a universally, like, celebrated thing, isn't it? To be like, oh, babies, we love.
It's true. But that makes me, like, sad, because you already are great.
Yeah, it's like anything.
Having kids is wonderful and being a mum or a dad is amazing, but you're also great you, yourself. I'm talking to this person, like, I know who they are, I don't know who they are.
Yeah, but then she basically said that now, like, she has a job that she loves and she has a life that she loves and she doesn't feel like that's a part of something that she needs to kind of...
See, that's really interesting, like, getting validation from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be that. But society, obviously...
It's like, this is where you should get it from.
But also, that's quite scary that society can make you feel like that when you're in such a low place. Like, that's not a decision that should be made when you're in a low place. Well, but like society makes you feel like you solve all your problems.
To try and solve their marriage.
Yeah, that never
like, that
works.
Does happen. And then five years later, they get divorced. And also, fucking Pizza Express.
Or you stay together for 30 years and then get divorced and your kids are like, we've always known that you hated each other.
Yeah, I love those.
We're not dumb.
So another one of our listeners said that she was so adamant, in capitals, that I wanted kids, and especially so with my ex. I really loved the idea until he said he didn't want them, brackets, with me. And ultimately, that was one reason we split.
Harsh.
I know. And she says, now I'm 32, single and thriving in my own space, building a new life, a new career. So part of me thinks I wouldn't mind if I did, or if a future partner didn't want them, then I wouldn't care, as I've realised my self-worth and how much I'm enjoying doing my own thing, and that I can spend my time with my friends and their kids just as much. Also, the freedom that I want, the freedom of doing what I want single, let alone with a child, has made me realise what I'd be potentially giving up if I had kids. So undecided, but I guess she's feeling better about it either way.
I feel like go you, whoever you are, because it sounds great that you're like in a good place and that you've come to that conclusion. Also, fuck him for saying he didn't want them with you. Like,
I know.
Think it, don't say it. Do you know what I mean?
Literally, like, there's absolutely no need.
There's
to say
no
that.
Need to say that out loud. And also, I'm sure if you were to become a mum, you'd be a wonderful mum, whoever you are.
This person said that they always wanted to be a mum and their husband's always wanted to be a dad. But the interesting thing is that he's much more ready for kids than I am. He says he wants 6 kids. Fucking hell, that's a lot. And wants to start trying a month after we get married. I personally would like 2 to 4, depending on our financial system.
That's still a lot.
Financial situation. And I would love to have them a year or two of just being married to enjoy that first. So we'll probably start trying 4 to 5 months after the wedding, but I do wish we had longer. She does caveat that she also has PCOS, so getting pregnant and carrying a baby could be more challenging for her, so she's kind of throwing that in there. The thought of birthing a child is horrendous, not being able to eat sushi, drink wine, have coffee. It's a cruel punishment for someone who has to grow
up. But you can't have sushi if you're pregnant.
Can't have sushi.
Why?
Babies don't like fish. I don't know whether it's because of babies don't like fish. Because they're already swimming around in there. They're like, it feels like cannibalism to them. Yeah, that's why. But that comes back to like being a dad versus being
a husband. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. And but personally, I think all of that comes down to it being your body.
Mm.
Like, you're the one who's going to house this thing.
Yeah.
Sprog. little
it's
tadpole.
It's so underplayed, the immensity of childbirth.
And like, the emotional, like, 100%. Hormones are real. Like, no one knows how they're going to feel when they're pregnant or post-childbirth or all of that. And I just think the father should realise that, yeah, it should be... Obviously, there's some compromise because you're making a life together, but ultimately it's your body, so the deadline should be down to you, I think.
I agree. And I'm going to wrap up our last... We did have so many comments on this. Like, honestly, it was like a popping topic. This, I just thought was really funny. Have you ever seen parents try to get all their kids through an airport? That
I have watched Home Alone. They didn't succeed, so we all know that it's impossible.
Exactly. It's a hard ask.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got two tiny last little segments I want to ask you.
Ooh.
But knowing what you know now, what is one thing you'd tell yourself 10 years ago?
Oh, my God. That's really hard. Well, like, about what we've been talking about today?
Well, it could be, but it could not be about that. It could be about anything.
It's kind of generic, but I would just tell myself that things... This is what I feel. I was just going to sing. Is it ever small? Things can only get better. No, but, like, that, even when things seem really dark or really, like, you can't deal with them.
Yeah.
That will change. And that's, like, for myself, but also for other people, because I never believed that.
I was thinking that the other day. I was like, God, if my younger self knew I'd be, like, so happy with so many friends and living in London and, like, this great partner, I'd be like, cute.
You'd be proud of you.
I would be proud of me. What's one thing you wish for yourself in 10 years?
Loads of animals.
Fucking loads of animals.
Like, on a big farm.
Mm.
Like, all sorts of animals. Goats, because then I'll... Kids, like you said, donkeys, pigs, and like some random things, like maybe like some tortoises. Yeah,
I don't like ostriches, partly because they're hard to say, but also people have always said I look like an ostrich with a small head and a very long neck, and I've really internalized that.
Also, I think they did a trial with an ostrich once on I'm a Celebrity, and I remember the ostrich being quite violent. It seemed like more scary than like the spiders or the snakes.
Yeah,
so maybe not the ostriches, but yeah, loads of animals.
It's just like no one needs a neck that long.
No.
Especially when you're eating things off the ground, you could just have shorter legs and then you could be closer to the ground. You don't need a long neck. It's not like you're going into a tree like a giraffe. Okay, and this is the real final end. I'm going to throw some things at you. This is called yes or mess.
Do I have to go quick? Is it like...
Yeah, but you can expand if you really want to.
Yes or mess.
But so if you like it, yes. If you think it's a mess, it's the same mess.
Okay.
So if you could choose to be a dad instead of a mum...
Mess.
No, you don't want to do that.
I don't want to do either of those roles.
You're like, have you fucking been listening to what I've been saying for the last hour? Asking your friends if they want kids.
Mess. Unless they want to tell me, it's none of my business.
Nice. Treating your pet like your child.
Yes. Always yes.
Reclaiming the term childless cat lady.
Yes.
And last one, being the fun childless auntie.
Oh, yes. 100% yes.
I also have like fantasies of being... Since I watched Schitt's Creek... I'm obsessed with Moira Rose.
Oh my God, same.
And I've always thought, the if babies. I don't have kids, babies, what a lovely time.
I know.
I can't go, I've got a show.
The crows hey, darling, have eyes.
Why are you crying so much?
Alexis!
I would like to be, if I was going to be a fun childless aunt, I want to be a mixture of Moira Rose with like Patsy from Ab Fab.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the only way to do it.
But do you know what I think the myth is though? They always say fun, rich aunt.
Mm.
Well, I don't know where that comes from. And that again makes me
think,
but
how? If you don't have kids, you would be richer.
I don't have kids, but... Here we are.
That's why you need to play Omaze. Get on the lotto.
I need to get on that. But yeah, so I'll just be the Moira Rose to your, I don't know who you are.
Patsy.
You can still be Patsy, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, no, you have to be Eddie because she's got the kid. I'll be Patsy.
Yeah, that's true. Patsy.
And I'll bring the bolly.
Okay, that's enough yapping. Well, thanks for being on the pod, Katie.
Thanks for having me.
For anyone who's listening, if you have any thoughts or feelings or want to share, get in contact. If you want us to read out anything, we are sharing topics on the Instagram channel. And yeah, if you submit something, we might read it out. We might give it a little lol, or we might try and bring something supportive to the table. Who knows? But thanks for listening.